Support for WMNF comes from our members and Creative Loafing, in print and on the street every Thursday and online all the time at cltampa.com. In addition to news and politics, music, food and drink, arts and entertainment, and their green community, CL has recently launched two new sites, sports and LGBT. cltampa.com. Good morning, I'm Duncan Strasser, and I'm really delighted to be bringing you yet another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll be speaking today with Elaine Boozler, a pioneer and comedian who's been touring since the 70s and may bring a notable wrinkle to the term animal advocate. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is Split Lip Rayfield with Blue Tick Hound here on Talking Animals. That was Split Lip Rayfield with Blue Tick Hound, a zippy animal tune to zoom us into today's edition of Talking Animals. My name is Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guest, Elaine Boozler, a pioneering and influential comedian who's been touring since the 70s and is slated to perform locally at the Capitol Theater, Clearwater, this Friday, March 18th. Additionally, Elaine may have somewhat redefined the term animal advocate in that several years ago, she founded Tales of Joy, a nonprofit animal organization that seeks to help animals and their humans in various ways, including assisting other animal organizations. We'll discuss Tales of Joy, its varied efforts, and specific dog work she does when we speak with Elaine Boozler in just a few moments here on Talking Animals. And as usual, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. Also, a little bit later in the show, we'll step into the comedy corner. We name that animal tune. The winner will receive a pair of tickets to see Paul Pereira and Fred Taggett from Little Feet do an acoustic show March 24th. Also at the Capitol Theater, coincidentally. And we'll speak with Dr. Jeannie Hart, a local veterinarian from Tampa Mobile Veterinary Services, who will discuss, among other things, the free healthy weight checkups she'll be conducting at the Talking Animals Festival. And as a sneak preview of our forthcoming spring fun drive, we'll offer a pair of tickets you can pledge for to see Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings March 19th at the Ritz. Smoking show. She's absolutely electrifying. When you're favorably compared with James Brown, you're doing something, right? Right now, though, it's time for animal news and announcements. We'll look at items of interest in animal news, locally, regionally, nationally, sometimes internationally, as well as announcements of local events on the horizon. So let's turn now to interesting and or notable developments in animal news. We also welcome your comments on these items as they unfold. You can do that by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing dj@wmnf.org. So, let's talk turkey, as it were. Produced by the Talking Animals, award-winning Rip and Reed News Department. Our first item comes from the New York Times. Headline, forget the treadmill, get a dog. It starts off, if you're looking for the latest in home exercise equipment, you may want to consider something with four legs and a wagging tail. Several studies now show that dogs can be powerful motivators to get people moving. Not only are dog owners more likely to take regular walks, but new research shows that dog walkers are more active overall than people who don't have dogs. One study even found that older people are more likely to take regular walks if the walking companion is canine rather than human. Quote, you need to walk, and so does your dog, said Rebecca A. Johnson, director of the Human Animal Interaction Research Center at the University of Missouri College of Veterinary Medicine. It's good for both ends of the leash. Just last week, researchers from Michigan State University reported that among dog owners who took their pets for regular walks, 60% met federal criteria for regular, moderate, or vigorous exercise. Nearly half of dog walkers exercise an average of 30 minutes a day, at least 5 days a week. By comparison, only about a third of those without dogs got that much regular exercise. Goes on from there. You might want to check that out. From the New York Times, I think it appeared in print Monday or maybe yesterday, but it's certainly available online if you want to check it out. So, also on the other side of the coast, from the San Jose Mercury, headline, South Bay Animal Shelters Overflowing with Chihuahuas. Starts off, who let the Chihuahuas out? Dan Szczynski, executive director at the Silicon Valley Animal Control Authority, said he hopes families will take these tiny Mexican dogs in. Their abandonment is a growing problem throughout California. In the last several weeks, there's been a bunch of Chihuahua dumpings, he said, and the small shelters that serve Santa Clara, Campbell, and Montesano is bursting at the seams. It's gotten so bad, he said, that little dogs are having to triple up in adoption rooms. We're having a crisis, Szczynski said. As a result, the shelter is now offering an unprecedented breed-specific adoption offer. Name your price, and you go home with a new Chihuahua, which typically, well, be quite different than that, obviously. So, interesting problem and interesting solution, at least at that one center. Also coming up locally, I want to mention one more time, as we have in the recent weeks, that Dr. Melanie Joy, author of the best-selling book, Why We Love Dogs, Eat Pigs, and Wear Cows, and also guest on Talking Animals last February when that book was first published, will be giving a talk this Friday, March 18th at 5:30 p.m. at Loving Hut Restaurant in Tampa on Fletcher Avenue. So you can find out more about that at floridavoicesforanimals.org. She's terrific. The book's terrific. Loving Hut. It's a food vendor at the Talking Animals Festival. See how it all works out? Me too. So let's see. Also, just a reminder, we spoke with, of course, Twyla Cole from Humane Society of Pinellas last week on the show, but just one follow-up reminder that this coming weekend, Saturday, the 19th, is their 19th annual Mutt Strut. So that'll be on Honeymoon Island State Park in Dunedin, and all kinds of vendors and fun and food and things from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So you can find out more about that at humanesocietyofpinellas.org. And we can head a little bit, a newer rescue, or at least newer to me. They've got a thing called Tales of the Arabian Nights. This is put on by Raffle Rescue, Inc. It's going to be March 26th from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at Tarpon Springs Castle Winery. And you can find out more. There's sultans, gypsies, belly dancers, food, etc., entertainment, by calling 727-943-7029. All right. And, of course, we wind up, as we typically do, talking about the Talking Animals Festival. So among the things going on, first of all, let's review the key details. It's April 3rd at Lowry Park, right next door to the zoo. It's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. There'll be vendors and tablers, by the way, for those sitting on their applications or staring at them on their desks. The deadline, of course, is March 21st, which is this Monday, and we've got all kinds of folks pouring in with applications, so don't be left out. But we've also got all kinds of other cool things going on, including now a bounce house for the kids that we're going to be providing. And but still, as always, looking for volunteers, like WNF itself, the Talking Animals Festival is volunteer powered. So if you can help out, you could email either talkinganimals@wmnf.org or dawnd@wmnf.org. And there's all kinds of things throughout the day. So if you have an hour or two to help us with the festival, that'd be great. Also, we're looking for if you have maybe a spare canopy that you're not using, one of those shade tents, 10 by 10s. We're looking for two or three more of those to get all our cool things happening in the park. So and check out, there's all kinds of announcements and news items and things at talkinganimals.net. Just find the festival banner on the right-hand corner. Click on that, and you'll get caught up on all kinds of stuff. So, again, we're going to have a silent auction. Got nice items being donated. If you'd like to donate to Talking Animals at WNF.org. And we've got this incredible Mexican whale-watching package that's pretty spectacular. And all kinds of other things, gift cards and comedy shows and meals and cheeses and things. So, anyways, check it out, talkinganimals.net. The festival is April 3rd. We'll look forward to seeing you there. Any questions, talkinganimals@wmnf.org. All right, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Jim Gaffigan with a portion of a piece called Eat Vegetarian on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
I'm a vegetarian now. Anyone a vegetarian? Yeah, there you go. I'm not a strict vegetarian. I eat beef and pork. And chicken, but not fish, because that's disgusting. How can you tell when fish goes bad? It smells like fish eat away. Well, this smells like a dumpster. Let's eat it. No one really likes fish. They just won't admit it. Like, I like fish just as long as it doesn't taste like fish. I got news for you. I don't think you like fish. I'm almost positive fish is supposed to taste like fish. Actually, you know what's really good on fish? Anything that kills the taste of fish. How about relish in a gallon of mayo? That'll do the job. What if we squeeze a lemon and wrap it in seaweed and cover it in soy sauce? He's anti-fish. And we're right next to Lake Michigan. I am amazed that we're still serving fish with the heads on there. Don't you always feel like that eye's looking at you? Like, hey, you don't mind if I watch while you eat my body, do you? Don't be distracted, little tear comes out. You can just tell yourself it's butter. Oh, what if a fish was in the audience? That would be awkward for all of us. It could happen. Lake Michigan's right there, buddy. The fish would laugh, but on the inside it'd be crying.
All right. Jim Gaffigan with a portion of a piece called Eat Vegetarian, taken from his CD, Beyond the Pale. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time now to meet today's guest, Elaine Boozler, as I mentioned earlier in the show. Elaine is a pioneering and influential comedian who's been touring since the 70s. Really? How's that possible? And is slated to perform locally at the Capitol Theater in Clearwater this Friday, March 18th. She's a longtime animal advocate, but lent new meaning, perhaps, to that phrase some years ago when she founded kind of her own nonprofit animal organization called Tales of Joy. So all kinds of things to discuss here. And with the reminder that we invite you to join that conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Elaine Boozler to Talking Animals. Good morning, Elaine.
Well, it is, isn't it?
Well, especially for you, my thanks, first of all, because, of course, it's you're in California, so...
middle of the night.
Yeah, practically, virtually, but I we have kind of traded email about your, I guess, ability that you've honed over many years of morning radio to just pop right out of sleep and jump right into to a radio interview.
Well, actually, I'm sleeping. I'm still asleep.
Well, I couldn't be more flattered. That's great. So, yeah, excellent.
This will all be a dream when I wake up later.
Okay. All right. Well, something Dallas related, perhaps. But
no.
So, okay.
Yeah,
I
was watching The Real Housewives of Miami, and the next thing I knew, I was talking to you.
Wow. Well, I'm not sure what kind of affiliation that is exactly, but it's a Florida affiliation at the very least, I suppose.
Exactly.
So we have all kinds of things that I really hope to cover with you, Elaine, from, of course, comedy to Facebook, but perhaps all too predictably, I really want to start off discussing animals and your work on their behalf. And, you know, one thing I've been kind of just rolling around in my head the last few days is a couple weeks ago you were talking to a mutual friend and mentioned to him that you were heading out of the house to do some, quote, dog work. In that case, what does or did the phrase dog work really mean?
Well, that's show business.
Okay, wow. I knew even less than I thought I did.
No, I've been fostering a lot of pitties lately because they need it. And, you know, we're just so overrun in California. And I probably had a showing. I probably was meeting possible adopters with a pit bull, probably.
Wow. So how many do you have kind of either, well, what, let's just take a survey of the population at your house, the canine population. How many are current fosters and how many are more permanent residents?
Well, I lost all my guys. I lost three dogs in the last 2 years.
Oh my goodness.
I know. It's
wow.
That's the hard part. But, you know, it's worth it, as we all know. And so I just couldn't get back in there, so I started fostering, which, you know, it's really great because you get dogs ready for adoption, and even though it's hard to say goodbye, you realize that they're going to get on and get a better home, and you can take another couple in and start helping them. So that's what you do in between your own doggies.
Wow, wow, wow. Well, that just seems like a pretty, rough confluence of loss. So, a somewhat belated condolence on that, but a great way to heal through that by helping out these dogs.
The thing is, I highly recommend it to anyone. You know, it's the best thing you can do because you're really saving lives. And if you're not ready to recommit or, you know, you just can't do it right away. It's just perfect. You still have a dog, but you're doing a wonderful thing.
And here's the thing on that I think some of us who, of course, love animals, but admire more so far from afar people that do what you do, and especially in light of your sort of recent loss of your own sort of animal friends. I mean, how does that work when you taking a dog, you're clearly, you know, not going to adopt, at least at this moment, just given what you've been through. So there's no question you're strictly fostering. And again, the outcome of that, of course, when it works, is that nice dog that you've hung out with and presumably bonded with to some extent, you say goodbye to. I mean, how is that with...
My husband describes it as... It's kind of like a one-night stand. You know that you're just having sex with this person. Never commit.
Right.
You know, you love him, you have a great time, but you know this isn't the one. But it is hard, I will be honest. I mean, I fall in love with every single one.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm very hard on where they go because once you love them, you're so careful about where you place them, which you should always be anyway.
Sure.
And, you know, I mean, I miss every one of them, but the homes that I've gotten them are so spectacular, you know, as far as the love that they're getting, that I just realize that I, you know, they've been placed in a wonderful place, and I can save another life after that. And it's different than when your dog dies because, you know, there's ongoing love and joy coming into that doggy. And, you know, as much as you miss them, you know how well they're doing. And so it's bittersweet, but, you know, it's what we do. Rescue, there's nothing easy about rescue in any way.
Sure.
Every aspect of rescue is hard. The fact that it never ends, it's you're always behind. We're always, everyone in rescue is crazy, including myself, because you're driven crazy.
Sure.
You know, there's never enough money. There's never enough time. And, you know, by the time I ever get my thank yous out for donations to Tales of Joy, it's always late, and I always say, you should really be happy that you donated to someone who took this long to thank you, because it means we're really rescuing.
Right, we're busy.
Thanks you in a day is probably not doing the job.
Right. This is kind of the Maytag repairman school of rescue. But so Elaine, then then let's talk more about this, because I mean, there's all kinds of comedians and celebrities and other high profile folks who, you know, love animals and will perform benefits and speak on certain issues and do other nice things, all important, valuable gestures, and I don't want to suggest even for a second otherwise. But But founding your own animal organization, Tales of Joy, I mean, well, that's just a whole different kettle of fish, if you will, in terms of passion and commitment. How did that, I know that happened many years ago, but how, maybe you could discuss how you decided that was something you wanted or needed to do and how you went about it.
Well, my boxer, Petey, who is the love of my life, I call him my first husband, you know, he was just everything to me, and he died in 95. And I was just inconsolable, and so I started volunteering at Boxer Rescue LA, and I spent 6 years there, and I really got to understand what the need was. It was so much more than what I ever could have imagined years ago, just writing checks or, you know, talking about animals. And, you know, I ended up, my husband and I, buying them a kennel in Sun Valley in California because that was what they needed. And I started to realize I was good at fundraising and, you know, I really hands-on from the ground up learned rescue. And once I got in the kennel, they were too big for me in the sense that I always wanted to help in my travels. As a comedian, I met so many tiny little rescues across the country. And, you know, you have the Humane Society of the United States on one hand, which raises, you know, $30 million a year and spends $1.50 on animals, and the rest goes to perks and pensions and, you know, salaries and, you know, barely goes to anything to do with animals. And then, you know, there'd be three little ladies in Ohio who take in maybe $1,000 a year and save 5,000 lives a year.
Right.
So I decided that's who needed the support, people who do great work that are tiny and all volunteer with you know, no infrastructure for fundraising, but great results. So I, Boxer Rescue didn't need me. I left them really well off. And I thought, well, I want to be all animal, you know, cats and dogs and bunnies and rats and everything, wildlife centers and raising money. There's a woman in Cameroon who saves the chimps after their mothers are, you know, taken out for food. And so I founded Tales of Joy in 2001, and that's what I've been doing ever since.
And so, yeah, I guess as much as I thought I sort of understood Tales of Joy, I guess I, until this moment, didn't understand how broadly based the help and the support that you provide.
It's 50 states, and it's, you know, I do a lot of fundraisers for animal conservation in other countries, and England and Africa, and just everything.
Yeah.
Greyhound racing, which is, you know, of course, a Florida thing.
Yeah.
I know. You know, I mean, you're going to have enemies and you're going to have admirers, and that's what animal rescue is. It's the way it goes.
And so how that's kind of raised an interesting point. I mean, what sort of enemies have you made in the process of making all these friends and doing all these nice things, or is that not even, you just sort of keep going and don't even notice?
Oh, I don't notice too much. I mean, I had turned down a gig. I was doing a gig years ago, and I thought it was horse racing, which, you know, that in itself, it's I don't love it.
Yeah.
But it was enough money to, you know, look the other way in the sense of, you know, horse racing still, it's not like, you know, raising money for puppy mills. And
yeah.
And it was a great amount of money because that's what I used to get in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And I was informed that there were a couple of greyhound racing people on the board as well, and that was the end for me. I couldn't do it. So, you know, I pulled out of the gig, and I got about 10 million thank yous on email and about maybe 10, you know, the heck with yous.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they
yeah.
sent me a lot of information on how wrong I was, but I knew that I was right. And I support Gray 2K USA, who does an incredible job
sure.
year after year of trying to change things. And, you know, people are saying, well, this is our living. And, you know, I understand and I apologize, but I'm sure, you know, the guards at in Germany said the same thing. I have to feed my family. No, feed them something else.
Yeah, I need a paycheck. Yeah, well, that only goes so far. So
no, about 18 people are just returned their tickets for my show Friday night.
No. Well, I think 19 or 20, some odd more, probably just bought. So
yeah.
I think it's more than a good trade.
You know,
but
life is completely meaningless if you don't do the right thing. That's all.
And just even the part of that anecdote that you just told, I guess I'd be curious to know if over time your sort of threshold, I guess, has shifted. Like you told the story about, okay, this is for horse racing, not so bad. I could kind of look the other way. Now, in 2011, if something came along that involved horse racing, would you consider it, or would you? I mean, do you have sort of a different view than you did back when that original story took place?
A totally different view. Yeah. I don't look the other way on anything.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
the more you're in it, the more you are in it.
Sure. Well, no, and that's what I would have suspected, but I just thought, you know, especially for people listening who might not be as familiar with you know, your work and your view and your sensibility as I am, I just thought that was an important clarification to make.
No, it's a great question.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So.
And, you know, I'm pretty, I mean, I keep the work separate. I of course, talk about animals in a totally loving way in my act, but
sure.
I don't impose my stuff on anyone.
Right.
I just live the way I live. I don't look at you if you're eating, you know, dinner with me and say, don't order that or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I don't go around preaching. I don't talk about it. I just, you know, live my life and I do as much as I can do. But, you know, just the way I would hope people wouldn't proselytize to me, I don't do it either.
Sure. Right. Well, that's so important. And even well, I'd like to think at least even a show like this, which obviously has a certain, you know, general sensibility and agenda, we really try not to be shrill and like you say, proselytize, just because we think, you know, week in, week out, if you come and listen and, you know, you're not alienated, you might sort of take in some stuff and you might take a step or two in a different direction.
That's
so
right. And that's the truth. And, you know, what people don't realize is, you know, I mean, I do a lot of fundraising on Facebook for Tales of Joy. And you know, it's the $10 minimum there. So usually it's $10 and people always say, oh, I'm sorry, it's not more. And I always say, are you kidding me? Facebook has 500 million people. If everybody gave $10, we could solve the problem.
Wow, no
so
kidding.
$10 is fantastic. $5, you could send it through PayPal. You could send a dollar. You know, I'll take it. And I write the same thank you for a dollar that I write for $1,000 because it's all meaningful.
Sure.
It all affects the person who made the sacrifice to give it. And that's why people don't do as much. They really don't get that. A tiny little bit is enough.
Right.
That's all you can do at the time. So listening to a show like this, it's not like, well, you have to be vegan and you have to. No, anything you do, any little step you make
right.
towards making the world more humane will add up just in a huge manner if everyone took one tiny little step. It all works.
Yeah.
So you don't have to change your whole life.
Right, right. That's the thing. So it's
mindful.
Right. And so therefore, it's not that daunting. Yes. Send the $5 if you can swing that.
Yeah,
and
if you can
send 10, great. If you can send one, and that's all you can do, that's great. But don't not do it is the key.
Exactly.
Sort of, yeah. So this is Talking Animals. If you just tuned in, we're speaking with the comedian and animal advocate extraordinaire, Elaine Boozler, who performs this Friday at the Capitol Theater in Clearwater. And tickets, if you haven't already gotten them, I believe can be had at the Ruth Eckert Hall website, amongst other places. And again, if you'd like to speak with Elaine in the meantime, probably not at the Capitol Theater, but today right now on Talking Animals, you can call 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@WMNF.org.
And everybody talks to me on stage. It's fine.
Oh, good. Well, yeah,
enjoy
I guess.
It.
All right, cool. Well, you know, some don't necessarily welcome that, but that's good that you do. Now, also, another thing about those shows and sort of maybe where this dovetails with Tales of Joy is, if I'm not mistaken, at least at a lot of shows and perhaps the one on Friday, you sell merch and you sign stuff and you do all kinds of things. But if I'm not mistaken, most and maybe in many cases all of the proceeds from that go to a local rescue or other organization. Is that – do I have
yes,
that?
Yes, that's what I do. I always sell the merch after the show and it stays local. I am going to take half of it this time for Japan.
Yeah.
Animal Rescue. I have a bunch of rescues there lined up that I've researched that – are going to do the hard work. So that's half, and the other half will be Florida Bucks, a rescue.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. That was my next question, and there you go. All right. So they are the lucky winner, because I do know that over the years there have been a number of rescues, you know, in and around this area that have similarly benefited. So that's nice to kind of keep
it. If you go to the website, it lists all the rescues we've helped, although we're way behind in updating, but they're there. And it's great because you leave the money locally. And really, all Tales of Joy, I just say that I launder money. I mean, all I want to do is raise money wherever it's needed. So if I'm in your city and I raise it there and leave it for you down the block, that's great.
Sure. Sure. Well, let me get to at least one of our emailer questions. Dear Miss Boozler, thank you for your comedy and hard work fostering dogs. I remember you talking about your dear Petey. Why does the Humane Society spend so little on local rescues?
Well, I mean, do you know the law of nonprofits is that you only, this is stunning, the only requirement to be a nonprofit by law is that you spend at least 5% a year of what you raise, 5%. So if you raise tens of millions of dollars every year, you only have to spend a couple of bucks. You can do anything you want with the rest of it. You know, I mean, between their pension funds and their salaries and, you know, everything they do, there, you know, very little money goes out. And locals, they're not local, you know, by any means. So I just think that you get so much more bang for the buck if you give $10 to whoever is working, you know, two blocks from your house, then to the Humane Society, who is going to take your $10 and send you 10 different pieces of crap from China. Keychains, stickers, you know, the minute you send them a dollar, they send you $5 worth of junk to get more money. And
right.
When I used to donate to them because I didn't know any better, I used to say, look, if you send me junk with the money I sent you, I'm going to stop sending you money. It's not what I'm giving it to you for.
Yeah.
But they are simply a money-making machine, and that's what they're there for. And, yes, they do a couple of good things, but not enough to warrant. You can get so much more for animals by donating locally.
Yeah. Well, it is it's a tricky one, and even one I still struggle with. I mean, I am sort of appalled by the wasted money and the – yeah.
Hey, are you appalled by them supporting Michael Vick, who didn't even go to jail for animal abuse but went to jail for gambling? He went to a white-collar jail for a couple of months, you know, 16 months for gambling, not animal fighting, with no counseling about animals. And the only thing, if you Google it, because you'll fight me on this, that he apologized for was hurting himself.
Right. No, I won't fight you on that at all, because we've talked about that a number of times on the show, and there have been, you know, people who have said, look, you know, all this time later, you know, and I've even asked people about, you know, could this possibly become a tale of redemption on the show? And they said, well, not until he actually apologizes. So, yeah, I know I'm right with you that apology really, there hasn't really been an apology.
Yeah. How about them supporting him wanting a dog? You know, he threw his own dogs into the ring, and you don't have to believe me. Just go on Google and read all the articles and read the history. He thought it was funny to see what would happen if he threw his own pets into the ring, and now he wants a dog because he can't explain to his children why he doesn't have one. Well, give me the phone number. I'll explain it to them.
Something tells me you will, yes. So, yeah, no, I mean, it's, you know, there's all that, and I guess the only, just to semi-complete my thought on the Humane Society is, on the other hand, you know, with some of that ridiculous money that they raise, the machinery for investigations, passing legislation, other things that make a huge difference for the lives of all the animals that we care about, you know, it is hard not to also, you know, acknowledge and say, well, you know, no one else is really doing that to that extent. So that's where I'm sort of torn. But, yeah,
Well, there are also some other large organizations that, you know, do the same kind of fund. Well, no one knows how to raise money the way they do. But
yeah.
There are people who are doing like things. And, yes, they do, like I said, a couple of good things. But you don't get a lot of bang for the buck.
Right.
And the Michael Vick thing completely took me off them, so
yeah,
I'm done
yeah.
with them because of that. But
yeah.
You know, here's the other thing about Vic, and I certainly am one for second chances and third and fourth and everything, but I think you have to come to the realization of what you've done, because it's just a repeating thing. It's one thing if a guy, okay, it is a horrible thing, drives drunk and kills somebody and spends, you know, the rest of his life being mindful about that and understands what he did and lives with it. This wasn't a guy who, you know, went to a dog fight, and this was 8 years of the most beyond the pale torture and abuse and, you know, callousness. You know, that's a sociopath. That's not an accident. That's someone, you know, and I'm not going to go into detail this early in the morning, but if you read about what actually he did himself with his own hands, you realize, you know, this is not a person who, if he couldn't go to his left, you know, or pass long, you know, he'd be away forever. Because when you look at that record, that's a sociopath who shouldn't be walking around. But, you know, I mean, my joke that I say is, if, you know, Manson will be out as soon as he learns to go long. You know, that's pretty much how it works in America. And, you know, I'm for second chances, but I don't see him doing it. He's not going around lecturing. They did one photo op that the HSUS set up for him. There's nothing else going on, and like I said, he has never said anything, but I'm so sorry I screwed it up for myself. And he has said very recently, if they didn't find me, I'd still be doing this, because he really still doesn't get what
right.
it was.
What he did.
You read what he did,
right.
You just go, how can this person be walking among people?
Right, so if you're, yeah, if he's still that many miles from remorse, it's hard to,
or even consciousness.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's take one of our callers here and see. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Elaine Boozler.
Hi, is that me?
It sure is. Do you have a question for Elaine?
Well, it's not me. Hi. Well, just listening to you, you sound just like me. I've been donating to all these organizations thinking that they're doing great things, and never realized that my money was not being really put toward the animals, which is why I sent it. When you say donate locally, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, local nonprofits. Now I'm kind of wary about nonprofits. How can I know that my money is going to be spent?
GuideStar.com, GUIDESTAR. GuideStar gives you a rating on every charity in America. And they give them, you know, how many stars of how they use their money. And you can really see where, you know, what percentage of your money goes to what you're hoping it's going to do.
Okay. GuideStar.com.
GuideStar.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And your Tales of Joy, are you just located in California? Or
no,
are you,
no.
Do you have like branches of in other places? Or?
Well, you know, it's not a physical being. It's basically, as I said, I raise money for rescues all across the country. So if you donate, which you could do through PayPal, you can either earmark, you know, what city you want it to go to, or you can just say on it, you know, first come, first serve as far as need is concerned. But basically, I get about, without exaggeration, 2,000 emails a day from across the country.
Okay.
And we just have volunteers. Nothing goes to salary. 100% of anything you donate to Tales of Joy goes right back out to animals. Everything we do is volunteer and underwritten by me. So we just go on an as-needed basis for need. You know, last winter, there was a huge kennel upstate in California where it snowed and their heat generator went out. They needed $800 that day. All the dogs were going to freeze. So that was that $800 at that minute. And then there's, you know, there'll be shelters that they'll have gotten a hoarder in some city, and they'll be taking in, say, 60 dogs or 200 dogs, and there's not enough place to put them, and so we'll get them into boarding for a week. Or, you know, it's all across the country, and the most needy, you know, first every day.
Okay. Well, I think I found my charity.
Do you
have a volunteer application on your website?
You know, we're just redoing the website. As I said, every good rescue is way behind in everything. So, you know, give me a month. And I mean, the website's great. You should go anyway right now because it's wonderful. But
and that's,
there's a lot more interactive things up there in a month where you can help us. And,
okay.
You know, thank you.
And I should,
thank you.
And I should say that the website is talesofjoy.net.
Yeah, it is
.net.
So,
okay, good.
Okay,
thank
well, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you so much.
All right, Elaine. Gosh, we're sort of nearing the end of our time, and I have a zillion other things I want to get to. So you made a...
I'm still sleeping.
I know, and I'm still flattered. But
I'm putting aside, I actually fell asleep at 4. So I really
my goodness.
My sleep. But, you
yikes.
Know, I was just appalled at the Housewives last night. It was so anti-animal last night. I before I went to bed, I sent $100 to PETA.
Wow.
They go to a pig farm and they kill a pig so they can have a barbecue. And I mean, they're looking, and the woman is saying, oh, look how cute. And, I mean, it was little baby pigs that you just, and you know how smart they are. They're as smart as dogs.
Yeah.
And they were so adorable. You just thought, what does it take to do that? I mean, you know, it's not someone starving in Cambodia.
Yeah.
Oh, look how cute. And the next scene, the pig is laying on their kitchen table, you know, just looking, I mean, you just wanted to die. And they're wearing fur, and they're killing the animals.
Wow, that sounds like quite an episode.
Oh, my goodness. It was like the real Housewife Killers of Miami.
Wow. All right.
And
how
much animal Botox is in all their faces, you know?
Right. Well,
that was a hard one to watch.
My goodness.
That was tough. I think you can take on the New Jersey Housewives for the territory, Vito.
Well, let me ask you, because you made a reference or two to Facebook, and you seem pretty active on Facebook. And so what impact has Facebook had on you personally and or professionally in terms of both comedy and in terms of your work on behalf of animals and Tales of Joy?
Well, it's, you know, changed my life. I mean, it's completely put me in touch with everyone. You know, every fan that, you know, or every person interested in animals or interested in comedy or writers, or I am so overjoyed to be this close to people. Because, you know, comedy or show business is so isolating.
Yeah.
And you really don't get that in any way. And, you know, I ventured in tentatively about a year and a half ago and just thought, you know, people said, don't do it. Don't do it. It's going to be like people ringing your doorbell all day saying, tell me a joke. Tell me a joke. Well, you know, it's just like show business. I mean, if you walk into a supermarket with an entourage of 20 bodyguards, you know, your life's going to be a nightmare. But if you walk in alone, a couple of people notice you and say hi, and you say hi.
Yeah.
And Facebook's the same thing. You just go easy. You know, you stay pretty open, and there's a couple of trolls, but for the most part, it's just been a total joy, and it's been put me in touch with every animal rescue across the country.
Yeah.
You know, every person who likes smart comedy, that's a smart person. And
sure.
I actually, you know, people say, oh, what's 5,000 friends? You know, it's not friends at all. You don't know them. Well, actually, you really do get to know people.
Sure.
And now when I tour, you know, all the Facebookies, my peeps, as I call them, come out. And I get to finally see the people whose pictures I've been looking at and hang out with them. And it's just been great.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, just because we now are sort of in our last maybe moment or so here, sort of in response to my Facebook post that you would be my guest of Talking Animals today, a Facebook friend and real life friend in this case commented, it seems like comedians have a strong connection with animals. Any reason why? And I responded, you know, that's a really good question, but, and I have some theories, but I'm going to ask Elaine directly. So, why do you think?
Well, I think comedians for the most part are kind of underdogs, and I don't mean a bad pun, but
mm-hmm.
I think the whole point is they're kind of alienated anyway, which is why they have this view of society. And if you get a good comedian, then it's a pretty good kind of skewed view that sheds more light on things, you know, that we need in a funnier way so we can kind of bite-sized deal with the horror of life. And, you know, certainly there's nothing more needy than an animal who's homeless or abused. And I think every animal you heal, you're healing yourself. And any life, even, you know, if you work with people, if you work with children, if you work with animals, any life you heal heals you and by extension heals a little piece of the world every day. And, you know, after 35 years of doing stand-up, I started in 73, I have to be honest, I was pretty, you know, burned out on it. I couldn't find a whole lot of meaning or challenge anymore. I mean, I'm funny, I enjoy it, but okay, you know, next.
Well, what else you got? Yeah.
And then when I just slowly got into how much need there was in this and how much, you know, heartbreak and joy it brought. I mean, and then the fans after the show, because they knew about this, and I was doing more funny animal stuff about love, you know, loving our pets and
mm-hmm.
the act, it, you know, people started to come backstage in a different way. It wasn't,
yeah.
Hey, you were so funny. It was, oh, God, I took the Sheltie out of a rescuer's place, and it became
comparing notes
connection.
That way. Yeah.
But it was such a strong connection, and I realized this is the meaning in life for me. And so, you know, that's really what it's given me,
sure.
And real meaning. And Facebook is just such a great fundraising tool and a great educating tool, because I learn every day from what people are doing. There's amazing rescuers on Facebook, and it shows you so many more ways to help than you can find on your own.
Well, and you know, and also, again, the range of views, like even on this very question, like I say, I replied to my friend and said I was going to ask you. And then later, just before I came in the studio, get ready for the show, another Facebook friend who's actually been a guest on the show, and she runs this fantastic horse sanctuary called Proud Spirit Horse Sanctuary.
Oh, great.
She wrote in saying, you know, basically that she thought maybe comedians had that strong connection with comedians for the same reason the rest of us do. Animals don't judge. Which I thought was really interesting and sort of poetic in a way too. So
it's beautiful. No, comedians live to be judged. So
right. Or it's the wrong line of work.
Well,
but yeah.
I don't heckle.
Right. That's right. There you go. Judge yes, heckle no. So well, Elaine, thank you so much for joining us today on Talking Animals. Again, your website is ElaineBoozler.com, but obviously you're on Facebook, and of course the other main website we want to urge people to go, especially maybe now, but in a few weeks when the revamp is done, is TalesOfJoy.net. So, Elaine, good luck. And again, the show is this Friday at the Capitol Theater, and tickets can be had through the Ruth Eckert Hall website, amongst other places. So I know it's going to be a great, great show. Thanks again for joining us on Talking
Animals. Thank you for such great questions. It was a total pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize. The winner will receive a pair of tickets to see Paul and Fred from Little Feet do an acoustic show March 24th at the Capitol Theater. To the first person who calls in 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals. Okay, so, got a full bank of phone lines lit. Let's quickly take the first one who called in. Hi, you're on Talking Animals. Can you name that animal tune?
I sure can. It's Beast of Burden by the Stones.
All right, cool. What is your first name, sir?
My name is Bo.
Bo? Okay, great. We will put you back on hold and get your information and send you to see Fred and Paul from Little Feet at the Capitol Theater.
Awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Stay on hold, though. Okay, so, alright, I want to, now introduce, Dr. Jeannie Hart again, from Tampa Mobile Veterinarian Services, and, gonna discuss among other things the, free healthy weight checkup she'll be doing at the Talking Animals Festival. But, and also, by the way, when I got on her phone, she was actually the first person to guess that it was Beast of Burden. So, but didn't seem fair to give her the prize. So Dr. Hart, are you there?
I am. Hey, Duncan.
Hey, cool. Welcome to Talking Animals. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show today.
Absolutely. So let's just jump in with a little bit of background, and including, you know, where you're from and where you went to vet school.
Okay. Well, I went to vet school at Virginia Tech in Blacksburg, Virginia. Famous for things more than just Michael Vick, who you mentioned earlier.
Right. Right.
And before that, I actually had my undergrad work at Cornell in upstate New York, and I have a master's degree from UMass Amherst in Massachusetts. So I've been kind of all over the map.
Wow, and thoroughly educated, too.
Yes, you gotta be.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it sounds like there's a master's thrown in for good measure.
Well, you know, it was in education, actually. I wasn't even in the veterinary field. I was a teacher before I moved into being a vet.
Wow. Very, very impressive. Cool. So how and when on that sort of interesting path did you, you know, obviously post vet school, you know, how and under what circumstances did you decide to create Tampa Mobile Veterinarian Services?
Well, I moved down here to Florida right after graduation about 10 years ago. And I originally was doing some large animal work, which is all mobile, as well as some small animal work. And just sort of leaned more towards doing the small animal thing, and I was an associate at a few different hospitals in the Tampa area, but it really wasn't anything happening, or not too much happening, as far as mobile services for small animals. And I have a good friend who had operated a good small animal mobile business down in Naples, and she encouraged me to break out on my own and try it here. And so, you know, I just broke into it last year, and it's been a very positive experience. Our clients seem to really like it. The pets like it. And I've been really happy with it.
And so, yeah, I guess I didn't realize it was that recent that you had sort of begun the mobile veterinarian services. But what geographic areas do you tend to practice in primarily?
We go over most of Hillsborough County, the greater Tampa area. We don't go into Brandon. They've got another mobile vet that covers that area.
Okay.
But pretty much anything in the greater Tampa area we'll go to.
So we don't want any turf wars, I guess is what you're saying.
What's that?
We don't want turf wars.
Oh,
yet.
No.
So are there certain things that you do and perhaps more to the point, don't do with a mobile veterinarian setup as opposed to someone with the kind of a more fixed office?
Well, we are a full-service practice, so we've got a little hospital on wheels, and if anyone would like to see the hospital, we'll be at the Talking Animals Festival, so they can come and take a tour. But we do examinations, vaccinations. We can do dental services, surgeries, blood work, pretty much almost anything that you can have done in a regular hospital, we can do. The things that we don't do are going to be more involved surgeries, things that are going to need more than just two people, because we're only two people in this business. So
okay.
If there's going to be anything that requires ongoing hospitalization or something more involved, we'll refer them to another hospital.
Okay, well, that's good to know, and that's great that you're as full service, because, again, I think a lot of people wouldn't necessarily think that if they think, hey, it's a vehicle, there's, you know, maybe inherent limitations. So that's really good to know. And we want to also let people know that to find out more, a couple different ways are through the website, tampamobilevet.com. And we've had a lot of conversations about Facebook in today's show, but of course, you're also on Facebook as well. And is there a phone number too that you might want to give out, Dr. Hart, if people did want to kind of reach you that way?
Yeah, our telephone number is 813-598-8505.
Okay, cool. I just wasn't sure if that was the same one I just used. That's why I didn't say that. But okay. Well, great. Well, so you've made a reference and a nice plug, and of course, not surprising, so have I. So maybe you could just tell a little bit about what you will be doing at the Talking Animals Festival on April 3rd at Lowry Park.
Yeah, sure. We're going to be partnering again this year with ACT to offer the $10 microchip. And we're also going to be offering for the first time healthy weight exams. And we'll have people bring their pets on board. We'll weigh them. We'll go over what the pet's body condition score is, basically the degree of how fat or thin their pet is, and then get a conversation started about nutrition and what they can do if their pet's not at an ideal weight to try to get them there.
Cool. Well, that sounds pretty nifty, if I do say so myself. And,
yeah, we're looking forward to it, and we got a few little giveaways from some pet food companies, so we'll have stuff to hand out to people as well.
That's great. And again, can't beat free. And even the microchipping is $10, which again, I think most people would, if they're going to a vet's office, would expect to pay, you know, five, six times that maybe and
yeah,
more with the registration
deal.
Field. Yeah. So, well, cool, Dr. Hart. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Again, it's Dr. Jeannie Hart from Tampa Mobile Veterinarian Services. And again, the website is tampamobilevet.com. The phone number is 813-598-8505, and you can also find her on Facebook as well. So thanks again. We'll look forward to seeing you at the Talking Animals Festival, and we really appreciate your time today.
Thanks, Duncan. Have a good day.
Okay, you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. All right. We've just about reached the end of our
vegetarian now.
Hey, all right. Okay, we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. Again, we're airing now every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to noon, so we'll be back next Wednesday, March 23rd, when our guest will be Heidi Ilgen from Southeastern Guide Dogs. Trained there for nearly 20 years, and we'll discuss the programs they offer there, the training, all the dogs. She's actually going to bring a dog in studio, it looks like, so that's going to be really, really interesting, and that's, again, sort of a local or semi-local establishment in Palmetto, but with a huge kind of national influence and significance. So I hope you'll join me for that next Wednesday at 11 a.m. on Talking Animals. Also, hope you'll visit our website, talkinganimals.net, where we make available all sorts of information, as well as archives and podcasts of past Talking Animals programs. We'll also have a link to the Talking Animals Facebook page, our Twitter feed, and more. Plus, you can find announcements and ongoing updates about the Talking Animals Festival. That's all at talkinganimals.net. Talking Animals broadcast outreach consultant is Libby McKenna. My thanks to her. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Stay tuned for the fabulous Scott Elliott with the All Souls version of It's the Music, airing right next right here on WNF from noon to 3. And today's going to have Florida ska band Bootleg. And playing live, no less. So that's going to be fun and rocking. And we're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal tune. In this case, from one of the 13 bands performing at the Talking Animals Festival. Did he just say 13 bands? Yes, he did. So this is Sons of Hippies with Animal Battle, taking us up to the NPR News, and then Scott Elliott and his great, great live show right here on Talking Animals. It's WMNF Tampa. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Okay, that's not it, but this is.
Concerns can